Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Welcome to the show. Let's get the conversation started. Okay, welcome to the show. This is Passion Talk, conversations about love, life, and things that matter. I am your host, Dr. Kim Duncan, business coach, entrepreneur, dad, and someone that really cares about the things that matter to you. We're here live every Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, and this is where we go to just have really real conversations about the things that matter. If you want to be a part of the show, the number to dial in is area code 347-996-3160. That's area code 347-996-3160. And if you want to be a part of the conversation, just press 1. So, today's March 10th, second week of March. We are, moving closer and closer to spring. I can feel it. I can smell it. In the northeast region right here where I am, it's actually feeling a little bit like spring. It's raining today, which is great. I love rain, so I'm happy. Hopefully no more snow, no more cold weather. I'm a spring baby, so this is my season. All right, so today's show, let's get to that. I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. When you when you're a radio show host and you're planning your own shows, you sometimes get to pick shows that are, for selfish reasons. And this is one of those occasions because so on today's show, we're going to be talking about, how to have a work-life balance if you are a busy father or busy professional male. Actually, the things that we're going to be talking about can actually be applied across the board, male or female. But, we're going to focus a little bit on the male side because, that's the general focus of the show. But I am a business owner. I'm a dad. I'm a son. Best friend, and at times it's really overwhelming. So when I put together the show, I wanted to bring on somebody that could really speak to this issue and help me out, and help out by proxy, help everyone else out. So today's show, we have Mr. Kevin Bullard, who is one half of the duo behind Marriage Works Inc., a ministry that creates Christ-centered resources and experiences to help couples have a better and more enjoyable marriages. Through Marriage Works, Kevin and his wife, I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce her name. I'll get him to pronounce it because I don't want to butcher it. They provide coaching, weekend events, and resources that strengthen couples in their commitment to God and one another. So we're going to bring on Kevin and say welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Kim, and I need to let you know there's a huge echo, and so it's tough to make out what you're saying.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you for letting me know that. Hopefully, I'm not quite sure how I can fix that. Let me try something. Just give me a second.
Okay.
Is this better? Hello. Hello, can you hear
me?
Yeah, I can.
I was waiting to see if there was going to be an echo. I think that did it.
Okay. All right. That's weird. Well, thank you for telling me that. I hope people that could hear, maybe the people that heard the broadcast, maybe they didn't hear it. But welcome. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
All right. Thank you. It turns out that didn't do it. You want me to call back?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and try that? Because I don't hear any echo on my end, so maybe if we just disconnect and get a fresh line, maybe that'll try. So why don't you go ahead and do that? Okay.
Okay, I'll do that. Give me just a moment.
All right. So while Kevin does that, Reality Radio, this is some things that happens with technical issues. So just bear with us for a moment while Kevin calls back in. Hopefully, if anyone here that's hearing this live, if they notice an echo, please by all means find a way to let me know. Call in and let us know, because I want you guys to hear the show and the content, because it's really good content. But as I was saying, Kevin's back. Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, hey there. It was weird. Before the show, there was no echo. As soon as the show started, there was an echo, but now it's going again. So I guess we're good.
Okay, we're good. Welcome to the show again.
Thank you.
Cool. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, and how do you, you know, what do you do, and how did you get to doing that?
All right. Well, as you read, my name's Kevin Bullard, and my wife's Satilia, and it's Satilia is the easiest way to pronounce it. We started Married to Works about almost 6 years ago. It'll be 6 years in July, and it really started. Married to Works itself started on a lark. We put up a Facebook post one day, and it kind of took off, and we've kept going from there. And it's been 6 years, and prior to that, we were doing a lot of marriage counseling. I pastored a church, and any pastor will tell you that he sees his fair share of families in crisis. So we were always working with couples, and so put up a Facebook post, and it kind of went from there. And so we've been doing Marriage Works now for 6 years. We do it full time. And part of our background, Satilia is a stay-at-home mother. She's homeschooling her kids, and she's got an extremely tough job in my estimation. And we both graduated from colleges in North Carolina, and I've gone on to get a couple of masters, and I am about 7 months away from being Dr. Kevin Bullard. So I'm in a grind right now. I'm doing a dissertation. I'm just trying to get that finished off. And we have three kids, a son who's 12, two daughters who are 7 and 9. And we live in Texas as of almost a year ago. So there's a quick little bit about us.
Okay, wow. So you definitely have a full plate on your hands. Marriage, family, career, school. So you'll definitely be able to really give us some insights on how to balance all those things when we get to that. But just out of curiosity, what was the Facebook post that you put up that, you know, what generated or what was the impetus for that Facebook post, and what did it contain that started such a following?
You know, that's a great question. Maybe I can pull it up right quick. It was, if I'm not mistaken, it was actually a Facebook note. It's like maybe just a short blog post, and it was weird. It just kind of got things going, and the oddest thing was I didn't touch the site at all or anything for quite a while, and came back, and several people had liked it, and we were just like, what in the world? And so we just decided at that point, there's something going on here, so we just need to keep being faithful with it, and that brings us to tonight. So I'm searching back now to see exactly what it was I posted, because I don't even recall it now.
Well, I mean, you don't have to get it verbatim, but was it about marriage? Was that what the general impetus of it was?
Certainly, it was definitely about marriage.
Okay, cool. So you you're a minister to a church. Is it a big congregation?
It was a church in North Carolina. The biggest it ever got was about maybe 50, 60 people, which here in Texas is a nursery church in terms of size. So it never got very big, but I'll tell you the truth, I learned some very big lessons. Even the church itself wasn't big, just on how to be a leader and, you know, what to do when you've got people coming after you or trying to, you know, undercut you. I mean, just I learned a whole lot of very good lessons. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So let's kind of dive into the meat of the matter here a little bit. I guess the best thing, the best way to start is, how exactly do you manage to kind of have a work-life balance with all that you have on your plate?
excuse me. This is probably the area where I've struggled the most. Quite honestly, my marriage is not perfect, but to me, what has been most difficult was when we started having kids, because kids require a lot of time. And at first, I was working at a university. I worked at a university for 16 years doing information technology. And I got it honest from my dad. My dad was the type of guy who just worked all the time. He was a letter carrier for a number of years. My dad had years and years and years of vacation time that he never took. I mean, that man just went to work all the time. And even though I didn't know it then, it was making an impact on me. And so I did the same thing when I got older, just no vacation time. And I found out so I was bivocational, working at the university, doing the church. And so it became very easy for me to justify, well, Cecilia, I really don't have time to do this, really don't have time to do that, because I got to work, I got to take her to church. I was working on a master's degree, all three of those things at the same time. And my wife is so nice. She's just kind of like, yeah, I understand. But when we had our first kid and then had the second kid, that's when I really started to see, this is crazy. I really don't have a good balance. And so, you know, there are a number of strategies I employ now, but just to give you a couple of them, maybe we could go into them. One of them is I have my wife keeping me honest. Where she's concerned, just love language. You know, when her love language is quality time, I know that I'm not really loving on my wife the way she needs to be loved if I'm not spending time with her. I can tell her I love her all day, but if I'm not spending time with her, then she's not going to feel loved. And where my kids is concerned, I'm continually asking them, is there anything I need to do better? And what I hear invariably is, play with the kids, spend some time with us. And it's very difficult now with me working out at a home. I can come into my office and disappear for hours on end throughout the day. And pretty soon my little one, who's 7, is going to be here. She's like, Dad, you haven't played with us today or what have you. So there's been a number of things I've tried over the years, but I'll stop there and let you direct us the way you want it to go.
No, that's perfectly fine. I mean, and that kind of hit home for me a little bit, because when I have a son who's 8, he's about to be 9, and when I work out of my home as well, and when he's with me, you know, there's hours where I'll be sitting at my desk working, and he'll be in the next room, and he'll come in here saying, because his thing is video games, he likes video games, and he'll play. He's like, oh, you want to come play with me? And I'm like, oh, you know, I'll come in a minute or I'll come later, and then I look back up and it's another 30 minutes, and he's like, Dad, you still haven't come play with me. So now I make it a point to really, you know, take breaks and go sit down and play with him when I, you know, when he's here. So I can, that really resonates with me. How did you first start to have the conversation with your wife? Because I think it's really great that you say that you have your wife keep you honest. How did you have that conversation? How did that start?
I think it was probably just my wife knows me. She knows my tendencies. She knows that I'm a recovering workaholic. I'm an introvert. And given my druthers, I won't talk to anybody unless I have to. I'm just going to keep working because I'm pretty goal-oriented. And so I saw it was becoming a problem. I did not want my kids to grow up and their idea of me as he was always working, didn't have time for us. And that's a real concern of mine, if I can be honest with you. And so I just said, Cecilia, I need you to help me just make sure that I'm spending time with the kids. And there's some who may be listening and saying, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why do you have to ask somebody to help you spend time with your kids? But, you know, we're all different. And for me, see, it's very easy for me to justify working, because I say, if I don't work and my wife is a stay-at-home mom who's homeschooling, that means I'm the one earning the income. And if I'm not working and making things happen, then guess what? There's no income. So it was very easy for me to justify overworking. And I just had to say, Satilia, can you help me with this? Can you keep me honest? And then, so that part was pretty easy. I think the bigger thing is doing it, knowing what needs to be done, and then doing it. And one strategy I've found, I've tried so many different things over the years, and I'll probably keep trying different things and, you know, whatever it takes, right? Mm-hmm. One thing I would do was 20 minutes. I'm going to spend 20 minutes with each kid every day. And I did that for a little while. The thing that I have done most recently is I found these dad coupons on the internet. AllProDad.com was the site. And I printed, that was part of my Christmas gift to the kids. And the kids, I mean, you would have thought I'd given them a new American Girl doll or NBA 2K15 or whatever. They were so excited about getting these coupons. And the way the coupons work is you've got to give them to me the night before, and there are two different types. There are some for 30 minutes of activities. Some of the activities are prescribed, or there are some that are blank where they can write the activities in. Some of the activities are for an hour, and they can write it in. You know, that's fine. The big deal is give it to me the night before so I can schedule it into my day. And really, that's the biggest thing. If I can schedule that time into my day, then it makes it a whole lot easier to do. I remember before we got married, early on when we got married, my wife and I would go to a marriage conference, and we'd hear people saying, oh, you know, we have to schedule sex. And we looked at each other and snickered. You know, we were newlyweds, no kids. I mean, we were just having sex all the time whenever we wanted. And then now that I've gotten older and there's three kids, and I think about that comment, it's like, yeah, I can completely understand why people would schedule sex, because your life is just tremendously busy. It's not as easy as it was, used to be schedule-wise. And for me, that's how it is. If I need to schedule time with my kids, instead of feeling badly about it, I'm going to say, well, you know what? At least I'm spending time with my kids. And they appreciate it. They like the coupons. They're still giving them to me.
Wow, that's great. What was one of the you said they can write in anything as long in the coupon, so you give them a blank coupon for a certain amount of time, they can write in. What's been one of the more interesting requests?
My wife did not like this one, but I was cool with it. So my daughter wanted us to paint fingernails together. So she painted her fingernails different colors, and she painted my fingernails. We put on a clear gloss, but since I always wear closed-toe shoes, I let her paint my toenails, and I had every color of the rainbow on my toenails. My wife looked at it and almost threw up, but you know what? My daughter appreciated it, and I walked around for 2 weeks with fingernail polish on my toes, and it was a reminder, oh, this was when I spent time with my middle daughter, and she'll remember that, right? She may not remember something I bought her, but she'll remember the night we painted my toenails and hung out.
Wow, that is awesome. I don't think I will be able to do it, but that's awesome. Good for you. That's
I feel kind of... I feel kind of silly saying it now, but thanks.
Hey, as long as there's no pictures, it's okay.
I took one, but unfortunately, nobody has seen it. So I just wanted a memory.
Okay, well, cool. I feel like there's an expectation of men that are heads of the household to be the breadwinner, the bread earner, and you know, really provide for the family, which is correct, and you know, there's no, I don't have a problem with that. But there's also that pull of spending the time with the family, like you say. How do you, mm-hmm. you know, you've given us a couple of strategies. How do you first suggest men approach that issue of how do I balance these things, you know? I gotta go out and make money, but you know, my wife is saying I'm not spending enough time with her. I may not be spending enough time with my kids. I may not be spending enough time on myself, which is an important part you know, we have to spend time for ourselves as well. What's your advice on someone who wants to really kind of, you know, start the process of putting things in balance?
All right. I've got a couple of thoughts. The first one is a bit is abstract, and the second one is a bit more concrete and I think really delivers the punch in the gut that's needed. Here's the first. I heard this story. Imagine that you are juggling five different balls, and let's say three of the balls, or four of the balls, rather, are made of rubber, and one of the balls is made of glass. Okay? And so, I'm sorry, I've got it backwards. There's five balls, four are made of glass, one is made of rubber. And so here they are, the glass balls. There's your faith, there's your health, there's your family and other relationships, right? And then the fifth ball that you're juggling that's made out of rubber is work. And here's the concept. If you were to mishandle any of those balls and drop them, one of those is going to bounce right back. And that's work. I mean, people can be unemployed. They can be terminated. They can be blacklisted. You can be laid off. But you know what? Pretty much, you can find some kind of work. It may not be in workforce, but if you are industrious enough, you'll find a side hustle to make some money. But think about it. If you mishandle your family, that may be a relationship that you can't restore. Same with relationships with other people. Your faith. There are some people who have like just, as the scripture says, shipwrecked their faith, and they haven't found their way back. They haven't been the same since. There are people who have mishandled their health, and they're still paying a price. And so that's abstract. If you think about it that way, everything is, work is pretty recoverable. Those other ones may not be, right, depending on how many pieces they shatter into. So that's the abstract one. Here's one that's a bit more concrete. I was talking with a guy last week, and he said something so interesting. He was talking about this young man I know. And this young man grew up in a home with a single mother, and it's just interesting to see this young man now. And he's talked about abandonment issues from his father. He's talked about how, you know, you just kind of see, you see all the statistics about what it's like with young men, particularly African-American men, growing up in a home without a male presence, without someone who's being a father. And you see where this young man is now. And what this gentleman said to me is, you know what? What you're seeing is what your son could look like in 10 years if you aren't putting in that time with him. What a punch in the gut. And he said, especially as boys get into middle school, I mean, that is the time. If you don't have him in middle school, he said when his son was in middle school, the counselors told him, if you don't have your son in middle school, if you don't have a relationship, you're definitely not going to have it in high school. And to see this one young man and how he is now and what he's struggling with, it's like, there is no way in the world that I want my son to struggle like that. And the thing is, he doesn't have to. But it means that I'm going to have to be more intentional. And it means that I'm going to have to exercise my faith more and say, well, God, yeah, I'm the breadwinner, but you know what? You haven't just called me to provide for my family. You've called me to care for my son. God, you provide for me, but nobody can give my son what he needs. God can't give my son what he needs because I'm my son's father. Is that making sense?
Oh, man, that is hitting right where I live. I consider myself to be a dedicated dad, so everything I do, I feel I do for my son. So you're speaking exactly to how I feel about this situation.
Yeah. And so, and then it's...
Please continue your thought.
All right. Now, I'm going to say, it's the small stuff. I mean, that's what matters. It's not the big stuff. I tend to be like Milli Vanilli or at least they lip sync like Milli Vanilli, All or Nothing. But it's like, it's really not, it's, Kevin, it doesn't have to be this huge, gigantic thing. Like this evening, my son said, Dad, can we play basketball for a few minutes? Let me tell you the honest to God truth. I did not want to play basketball. I just don't. I'm tired. I just didn't want to play basketball. But I went down there. I spanked him in a couple of games. And to be honest, he probably got more out of it than I did. But I'm looking down the road. I look at how my relationship now is with my dad. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It is so solid. And that's the type of relationship that I want to have with my son 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years from now. But I know that I'm not going to have that if I'm not putting in the time now, like playing basketball when I don't want to, or playing a video game when I don't want to, or with my girls today. I mean, there was so much work I did not get done today, and I was so frustrated. It was so frustrating. I had to leave the house a couple of times. And my daughter kept saying, Dad, you said you were going to paint with me. You said you were going to paint with me. So I sat down with her, and she did the majority of the painting, but I just sat down with her. And you know what? It said to her, he kept his word. My dad painted with me. Because she gave me an arts and crafts coupon. So.
Okay. Cool. You know, I as you were talking, I thought back to some of the things that I've done with my son. And I realized that sometimes, even if I just go sit in a room that he's in while he's playing or watching TV or playing his video games, if I'm just in the room and I may have my tablet with me and, while he's playing or focusing on something, I'll be reading something, reading a blog post or an article or something. And, you know, when he's like, oh, Dad, look, I did this. Oh, yeah, you know, I could put the tablet down and you know, focus on him for that moment. I just think that, if they have that physical presence and the closeness, and when they call on your attention, you're available to give it to them. I think that goes a long way as well.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I probably don't do that as well as it sounds like you do it, just kind of being there. I mean, one of the things, gosh, it's almost like it's turned into therapy for me, but just not being in my room so much in the office working. That's a big thing. But it's just, you know, it's a continual thing. I see opportunities for growth. I see places where I have grown, and it's all about just continuing to keep going and make sacrifices. That's what it boils down to. I mean, I realize more and more each day that the world is not, things just aren't going to happen on my schedule the way I want them to, even if I try to make it happen. It's just not going to happen, and I have to bend. And if I want to be in a relationship with my kids and they get older, then it starts now. And especially as I work with married couples, so many married couples have problems in their marriage because they had problems with their parents growing up. They're called father and mother wounds. Mm-hmm. And I don't want my kids to have a father wound and therefore be messed up in their marriage, and it'd be my fault, even though here I was the marriage guy, but I screwed up as the father. And, you know, I realized that, you know what, if I don't father them, that can't happen. And I'm not above that happening, and that's a very sobering thought.
So now you work with your wife. How does that factor into kind of having a work-life balance? Because you're at home, she's a stay-at-home mom, so you guys see each other all the time, and then you also do work with each other outside of the home. How does that affect the balance, you know?
I have learned over the years, and particularly, at first it was with the church, and then it was more so with marriage work. So I've learned that my wife has a limit on how much talk she can hear about marriage works. And I've gotten a whole lot better. I just try to tell her stuff in short bursts, or I may text her. Because here's the thing, even though we're around each other all the time, at home all day, every day, and that's good. If all I'm doing is talking about marriage works, it overloads her. And she's like, can you talk about something else, or can you talk about us? And I've just had to learn to just shut up about marriage works. I mean, she cares. Obviously, she cares. It's something that the Lord has called us to do, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's what I do all day, more so than her, and so I'm more passionate about it, but it can be a detriment to our marriage. And so what we have to do there is, once again, knowing what her love language is, I just have to discipline myself. I'm going to spend this time with her, and I am absolutely not talking about marriage works. And here's what I found. It's really, really cool. When I draw back on talking about marriage works, she brings it up. She may bring it up in prayer, or she may bring up this idea she had, and that is so cool, because it's like her opening the door and saying, it's okay to talk about marriage works. And really, that's all I want anyway. I just want her to be as engaged and as excited and as I do, and stuff like that. But really, I found that if I can limit how much I talk about it, bounce my ideas off of her, and then just pull back, she'll open the door when she's ready to talk about it. And it happens more frequently than I thought it would. And so that's pretty cool.
Okay. Now, you mentioned something a couple of times, and I've never quite heard the term. Love language. Is that the
sure.
term? Well, can you explain what that is?
Certainly. The love language is, it came out of research done by a guy named Gary Chapman. And what he discovered over years and years of his counseling is that everyone feels love in one of five basic ways. And those are quality time. And quality time is just, I don't care what we're doing. We can be walking down the street. We can go to the mall. We can sit in the house. We can run together. I don't video games. I don't care what we're doing. As long as we are spending time together, I feel loved. Another one is acts of service. And this is, I feel loved when you are doing things for me, like when you're cooking or vacuuming or washing a car or cleaning a tub or vacuuming, or I think I said that, helping the kids with their homework. It doesn't matter. If you're doing something that helps me, I feel loved. And acts of service is one of my love languages. There's another one, receiving of gifts. That one's pretty obvious. It is what it sounds like. I feel loved when you get me a gift. It could be a big gift, a little gift, doesn't matter. It just lets me know that you were thinking about me, and so I feel loved. You were thinking about me when you weren't with me. Physical touch is the fourth love language. Physical touch can include sex, but it doesn't necessarily mean sex. That could be a pat on the bottom, holding hands, a hug. You massage somebody's shoulders, or you rub the back of their head, or you pluck their ear, or whatever. Just, I feel loved whenever you touch me. And then the fifth one, words of affirmation. And that is, I feel loved when you speak words to me or when you write words to me that affirm me. And so it could be a love note. It could be a text. It could be an email. It could be a tweet. It could be a handwritten letter. It could be a word that I say. It doesn't matter. As long as you are speaking affirming words to me that build me up and encourage me, I feel loved. And so all of us have these five basic love languages, and we have a resource on our page, marriageworks.us. Again, marriageworks.us, and if you go to the page and click on resources, underneath emotional intimacy is a category. We have a webinar that talks about the five love languages. And so here's what I've noticed. When I speak my wife's and my kids' love language, I get big points because that's how they feel love. I can tell my wife all day, I love you, I love you, I love you, or buy her all these gifts and all that stuff, or I can help her over something around the house, but it doesn't do the same thing as sitting down with her and watching 60 minutes of Downton Abbey, for instance, or my son. I can give my son a million hugs, but it's not the same as me buying him an 88-cent Hot Wheel from Walmart. And so combining all these things, yes, they want me to spend time with them, but really, it's all about priority? How do I make them feel like they are more important than my work? My kids know how important my work is. They understand the concept. This is how we make our money. This is how we live. This is how we pay our bills. This is how we eat. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They still have the need to be loved. And whenever I speak their love language, then it makes them feel prioritized over my work.
That is fascinating. And I would imagine understanding someone's love language makes the time that you spend with them more effective, more the quality of it is a higher quality. So you may not need to spend as much time with them, or you may not get to spend as much time with them as you may like, but the time that you do spend with them is of great quality because you're giving them and you're speaking their language, so you're making that connection with them quicker, and it's a deeper connection, which goes into helping you maintain an overall work-life balance. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And shoot, with some of them, it may not even need to be time at all, right? It's just,
mm-hmm.
But here's the deal. We all tend to speak different languages. We all tend to speak different love languages. And so it's like if I go to Spain and I start speaking English, some folks may get it. A lot of folks won't get it. If I go to Germany
right.
and I'm speaking English, same thing. And so if I'm going to connect, which leads into the work-life balance, if I'm going to connect, I've got to know your language. And that is where the rub is. That's where the sacrifice comes in. That's where it can be so difficult, because if yours is quality time, and I was a zero in quality time at one point. Now, your love language can change a bit depending on what's going on, the environment, you get older, different life experiences. We've seen our
mm-hmm.
change. But at one point, our work-life balance was so out of whack because my wife had like a 10 on quality time, and I had a zero. I didn't need my wife to spend time with me to know that she loved me because I was so high on acts of service. My wife would iron my shirts. She would cook. She would clean. You know what? I knew she loved me because she was doing those things to assist me, to help me. But she was feeling like her love tank was running low. She was running out of fuel because she didn't feel like she was loved, even though I would say it. It wasn't the same. And so finding out those love languages and speaking it, you know, it makes the work-life balance easier because it's not always time. But what it is what is your love language? How can I show you that you matter, that you count, that you are more important than the thing that I think is most important? And it speaks volumes.
That's such a powerful message. And, you know, for the fellows out there that are listening, you know, hopefully they take away from that if they invest in really understanding their wife, their significant other, their children, if they invest that time to really understand them, they can make that connection, and then that's going to pay off later on when it's more difficult, when there may be a more difficult period when they're struggling with that work-life balance. It really
Certainly.
All comes back to really understanding and investing the time, you know, to learn and understand the people in their life. Those glass balls that you talked about in your earlier analogy of the juggling, you want to invest the time in those glass balls because when you're juggling, then you'll really understand how to handle them, really.
Exactly.
Wow. That's a powerful strategy.
And I'm sure you've experienced this. I mean, we all go through this. There are different parts of your life where there's more stress. There is just some seasons of life are busier than others. And
yes.
And here's what I've learned. I didn't do this too well early on, but you know there's going to be opportunities to do it better in the future. There are certain seasons of life that are just really busy, and your family gets that. Your wife, your significant other, your kids. They get it. There is, like, when I worked at the university, you know, new kids come in every year. Well, I worked in a department where I would have to be at work for, like, 10 straight days, and I was working 12, 13, 14-hour days, and I wasn't home. But you know what? That's what the job called for. My wife got that. Well, what if, leading up to that, I had been speaking my wife's love language? What would I have done? I would have built up such a reserve that when I was working those days and all those days in a row and those long hours, because I had built up such a reserve of love in my wife's tank, there was enough to get her down the road until that season of busyness left. But what happens so often, and what I've done before, is her love tank is maybe halfway full or a quarter of a tank full, and now I've got this real busy season, and you know, you keep riding, you're driving your car, and you don't fill up, at some point you're going to run out of fuel and you're going to get stuck. So many couples find themselves stuck. So many fathers find themselves stuck with their kids because there was never enough fuel in the tank to withstand this stretch where you didn't have the time really to fill up. And that's why, gosh, you learn this love language and you just fill up as often as you can. And it gets you, it bridges you during those really busy seasons of life.
Wow. That is very, very, where can they find that love language information on your website? Because I really want people, I'm going to go find that and read that.
Yeah, the actual, this may be a couple websites, 5lovelanguages.com and 5lovelanguages.com. This is where you can go and actually take the assessment to see what your love language is, and it takes like 2 minutes, all right, and it's free. And then on our website, we just did a webinar, and I just broke it down even more and looked at each love language a bit more. And that was marriageworks.us. And if you go to the resources, it is under emotional intimacy is where you can find that.
All right, I'm definitely going to check that out because that's some powerful stuff right there. Okay, let's kind of just go back to, I remember when we were having our pre-interview chat, you had mentioned something about choosing to cheat on work for your family. And explain that concept a little bit. What do you mean by that? How do you cheat on work?
Okay, that is based on a book by Andy Stanley. It's called Choosing to Cheat, and the subtitle, I love it, it says, Who Wins When Family and Work Collide? And what Andy Stanley says is that really cheating is all about showing your priority. And you have to understand the context. Andy Stanley's church, he's in Atlanta, it's a very affluent church. Got a lot of white-collar workers there, a lot of executives. And these are folks who make big decisions. Lots of money is at stake. And they've got these families who live in these nice suburbs. And, you know, the tendency is, how much money can I make? You know, can I swing one more deal? And what Andy Stanley says in his book is, choosing to cheat is just really understanding that. He says, somebody's going to get cheated. He says, he's not saying to defraud your supervisor. You know, he's not saying cheat on your time, cheating like that. But what he's saying is, whenever you are just overboard at work, whether you are an entrepreneur or you're employed by someone else, when you are overboard and you are just, you're not seeing your family, he says you're cheating on your family. You're cheating on your family with work. And what he says is, yes, do your job. Yes, do it as unto the Lord. But it comes to a point when you're going to have to cheat on work in favor of your family. And so once you've gotten the job done, now what? Are you going to cheat your family now that you've gotten the job done? And certainly, again, there are busy seasons. There are times when people need to work overtime to earn more money. But he says, if you're continually cheating on your family, then your family is going to fall apart, because he says that family spells love, T-I-M-E, which is time. And I'm going to push a bit farther and say the family spells time different ways. They spell it T-I-M-E, they spell it time, they spell it quality, they spell it physical touch, they spell it gifts, service, words of affirmation, and we've got a cheat. So what it looks like practically is, if I'm cheating on MarriageWorks, that means I am getting MarriageWorks to, here's what I need to get done with MarriageWorks today. These are the three main things. And if I get those three main things done, then if I set my day up correctly, I can stop working for today. Sure, there are so many more things that I can do and would love to do, but who's going to pay the price for me getting ahead on MarriageWorks? My family. Yeah, it may help all the MarriageWorks folks, but while I'm helping their family and their marriage, what's happening to my own? It's crumbling because I'm cheating them. And when you start cheating people, they get a little, they become a bit wary of you, right? And then they don't want to deal with you anymore because you cheated them, and it happens. So, does that make sense?
It does. It really does. I want to play devil's advocate, though, a little bit with you, if you don't mind. As we know, you know, there are tough economic times. It's gotten a little bit better, but there's still a lot of people that are hurting and struggling. And there are some people that, you know, may have two jobs, or, you know, maybe even a third job. Who knows? They may have a situation where they really, really just don't have time. You know, they're out of the house before their kids wake up. They come back before, you know, when everybody's in bed. On the weekends, they may have to go to another job, just all to make ends meet. And they'll say, you know, Kevin, you know, that sounds really great, you know, cheating on my job and so I can spend, but I don't have time. What do you say to those, to someone in that situation?
I would say, first of all, I would pat that person on the back for not being derelict in their duties, because the scripture says that if you don't provide for your home, then you're worse than an infidel if you don't provide for your family. So I'd say, first of all, kudos on you for, you know, hitting the pavement and doing what it takes to make it work. The next thing I would say is, you can only do that for so long. Or so like this. You can work two jobs forever, right? You can. But you've got to look down the road. Because at some point, everything, every seed that you're sowing is going to bloom. There is going to be an end result of what you're doing. And if it's all work, 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 sure, you're going to get the necessary finances that you need. And if it's no work and it's all family, then you're going to be in want. And so here's the thing. That's why this whole conversation, we've not prescribed any type of, like, value of time that you've got to spend, because that's not the real question. The real question is, what does your child need from you right now? What does your spouse need from you? And here's the thing. If you're having to work two jobs, your spouse gets that. And if your kids are old enough to comprehend it, they get that. But the thing is, you've still got to ask, what do you need from me? Given my time constraints, given the need that we have in our home, what do you need from me? And I just have to say right there, God doesn't let any of us off the hook because we've got to work two jobs. I mean, I'm going to have to give an account for how I shepherded my family. And God's not going to say, oh, Kevin, your bank account was a little low, so I get it. You didn't shepherd your kids because you had to keep working because you all needed some money. I mean, that's not going to work. I believe God is sensitive to the fact that we have to work, and he provides opportunities for us to work. But all you have to do is look at the book of Ecclesiastes, and you'll see all work, work, work. It's like chasing the wind. All right, so you get the money. All right, well, the money grows wings and flies away. There's always going to be a bill to pay, right? There's always going to be a need that comes up. There's always going to be that. But your kids are going to grow up, and they're going to look back, and based on what you did now is how they're going to assess you. And it's going to affect them. I think about that song, Cats in the Cradle and Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue and the Man in the Moon. What are we going to, when you're coming home, Dad, don't know when, but we'll get together then. If you may be familiar with that song. That song hits me every time. Because it's about a dad who was too busy, and his son grew up, and his son was too busy for him. And he got what he said.
Okay, wow. All right. Do you have any thoughts on how to incorporate your family into the business? I know you work with your wife, but perhaps if there are people out there that are working, perhaps there are ways that they can incorporate their family or help them, and that can build that kind of quality time in while they're getting work in as well.
Yeah, we have wristbands that we do, so the kids definitely help with that. We set up two tables and we ship the wristbands out, and so the kids help with that, and we have them checking and doing quality control and all that. So that's one way to help. I'm trying to think, how did I have my kids helping me when I was working at the university? This is an advantage we had. They didn't really help with my work that much, but my wife would bring them by. Since we homeschooled, she could bring them by, and so they could see where I work, and they'd hang out with me a little bit. And there were times when I had to keep them at work. But other than that, I don't know that they helped me carry out my work. It was just impossible. So how could somebody involve their family in their work? I'm thinking about that. That's a great question. Let me think about that for a little bit more. If you've got another question, maybe I'll come back to it.
Okay. Let's see. When do you think is, you know, should they seek help if they're having problems trying to set this up? Should they seek outside help? And where should they go to try to get that help?
A resounding yes. That reminds me of a billboard that I saw a couple years ago. It said, stubbornness kills more men each year than any other disease. That's because men are just too stubborn to go to the doctor, too stubborn to ask for help. And we feel like it's part of the man code. It's like, I'll lose my man card if I ask somebody for help, if I reach out for coaching or if I reach out for counseling. And, you know, call it what you want to call it. Men tend to do better with coaching. I mean, particularly if they played sports, you know, with the coaches there. And so I would say definitely, if a man has questions on how to get this work-life balance, then certainly reach out to someone. It could be a coach. It could be one of their friends, one of their other boys. Just find somebody who is doing it well and say, gosh, can you help me? How can you help me make sure that I'm staying on track? And here's what I find. When I'm coaching other people on stuff, I mean, I hope this is helping you and the listeners, but this is helping me immensely because I see, all right, I may have gotten kind of slack in this area, but I need to go back in this area. And here's another thing. The more you talk about it, you start to self-medicate. The more you talk about it with other people, just bring it up and say, listen, I'm kind of struggling in this area. Here's what I've tried. What do you think? What do you do here? And the more you talk about it, the more you make it an issue, the more it's in the forefront, the more likely you are to do something about it. So they should definitely seek some outside help.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, as a coach myself, I coach with businesses and setting up businesses. It's an immensely powerful resource to have someone that is has an objective view of the situation, but is also wants the best for you to help you reach your goal. So in the situation of, you know, someone who wants to, you know, have a more balanced approach to their family and their life. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there's that saying, you can't see the forest from the trees. You know, you can't really figure it out if you're in the thick of it. Getting that outside perspective really, really helps. And it can do wonders for you. So I'm glad you said coaching. And also, you also mentioned, you know, look at someone else who's done it, who has a successful kind of situation set up that you would like to emulate. And I also say that, you know, success leaves clues. And, you know, you look at however people are successful in something, and that's evidence that it can be done. So, you know, if it's not a coach per se, find a good friend, find a mentor, someone that can, you know, really, really, you know, help you. And also, though, do what you did. Go to the person, you know, in your life that has the biggest stake in you being successful with that, be it your wife, your kids. And your kids may not, you know, they may, if they're young, then of course, you know, they may not be the right source at the time. But you can always just say, hey, you know, what would you like daddy to do with you? And they'll tell you, oh, you know, paint my toes, daddy, or only paint your toes. And hey, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to throw that in after you mentioned a coach and a peer. I mean, just go to the people who know what they need. And even if they don't fully know what they need, they're going to tell you. And here's the thing. We all hold people accountable to our expectations, whether we tell them or not. We're holding them accountable. Right. And that goes for our kids and our wife. Our wife and our kids are holding us accountable to their expectations, even if they don't share them. So, you know, let's take some of the guesswork out. What do you need me to do more of? And to the kids, that's been a great question. What do you need me to do more of? What do you think I need to do more? And I hear the same answer. I need to play more. I need you to play more. And it's like, even though I'm tired of hearing that answer, you know what? If that's what they say, I can't argue with how they feel. Oh, I just need to play more. It's like, so what does that look like? And you mentioned this. I thought this was good. Men tend to be pretty objective-minded, pretty goal-oriented. Set some goals for the house. Set some goals for your wife. Set some goals for your kids. We have so many great tools at work that never, ever come home, like a SWOT analysis. Can you put together a SWOT analysis for yourself at home? What are you doing well at home? What are your strengths? Where are you weak at home? What opportunities do you have at home? What are the threats to you being an effective father and husband at home? I mean, a SWOT analysis would work wonderfully well at home. Bring the tools home that you use in the job. Make them work at the house.
Oh, that's great. That's a great, great, great piece of advice right there. And when you do that, for anyone that's listening and wants to do that, be brutally honest with yourself. You know, be honest. That tool, if you're going to use that tool, it coaches you use something called the Wheel of Life. I don't know if you use that as well in your practice.
But the
Wheel of Life, we use that as well. Those tools are great tools for assessing where you are now, but they only work if you're brutally honest with yourself. And, you know, get someone else's opinion on it and input, you know, your wife, your significant other. But just keep it really, really honest. Great, great, great suggestion right there, Kevin. This hour, I'm always amazed at how fast the time flies. I checked the clock, and it was like we were at 32 minutes in, and then I just looked again, and we're like 3 minutes left in the show. It amazes me, and you know, this has been a really, really great conversation. I always want to leave time at the end to have you give you an opportunity, my guests an opportunity, to explain what you may have going on. What someone who may want to work with you, since you do offer coaching and you do offer, you and your wife offer events, what kind of coaching, what kind of events, what can they expect if they work with you?
All right. If you work with us, what you can expect, especially if your husband listened to this, you're going to get some honest feedback without feeling beat up. We have not worked with a husband yet who's walked away from a coaching session that he did with his wife feeling like, man, I just got dulled. That's why a lot of men avoid coaching and counseling, because they feel they're going to get beat up. We're going to go after both spouses equally, and we're going to be honest, but at the same time, we're going to point you to God's Word and hopefully encourage you to work on your marriage and do better. So we do that. We're planning some events right now, and unfortunately, they're too squishy for me even to say anything, but we are looking to have a couple of events, and we'll post that information on our website, marriageworks.us, when we get it firmed up.
Okay, great, great, great. Well, Kevin, I want to thank you for taking the time and sharing your vast knowledge on the subject. I mean, you're obviously living it, so you're a great testament to it can be done. It may not be easy, but it can be done. If anybody does want to reach out to you, I think you have a really great Facebook page, and you have a big following, so you have some really good information, and then they should also check your website. I want to thank you, Kevin, for being on the show, and hopefully we can get you back on the show at a later date for even more information about marriage and successful living.
Yeah, that would be great. I appreciate the opportunity to be on. I've really enjoyed it. It was a quick hour. I enjoyed it, so thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right. That is our show for this week. As always, we try to bring you these real conversations that you can really use to help you step into your greatness and just really live an extraordinary life. I want to thank you. We will be back next week. And until then, follow your passions. All right.